about that this evening. And if there's ever been a time to be empowered, it is right now. God has empowered the church for the last days. The question is the power been turned on in your life? The power is there. Have you received the power? So tonight, I want to turn your attention first and foremost to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31 right there. These are days, and we'll talk a little bit, like we probably have never seen in the history of the world before, in the modern times. I've never seen some of the things that's going on right now. There is an attack on Christianity at an alarming rate from our own government. I share with some of the things that's been said, things that's been read about Christianity. It's a spirit of the Antichrist that is running rampant. But there's also a power that's greater than the spirit of the Antichrist. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now go over with me to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29 right here. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. The word of God says, and now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that which all boldness, that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake with the word of God with boldness. I want to simply speak tonight, empowered, the empowerment for the last days. Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, tonight, God, and we honor you, Lord, and we praise you, dear God, for everything you've done, dear Lord. Lord, we just acknowledge you, dear God, tonight, Lord, and we need your help. We need your anointing, Lord, and we need your empowerment, oh God. Father, we just ask, God, for you to just have your way in the sanctuary. We ask you, Lord, to let those that don't have the power turned on be filled tonight. Be anointed by you. Let the power be turned on in their lives, oh God. Father, we give you glory, God. We give you honor tonight, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One of the saddest states of affair is when the church is contempt in where it is at. Did you hear me? It is sad when the church is contempt in the place that it is at. Many are just happy coming to church and having a few religious services, going through a few motions, singing a few songs, and going hearing the preacher preach a message, but they have no desire to know or experience the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something tonight. I come tonight to experience the power of the Spirit of God. I come tonight to experience the presence of the Holy Ghost of God tonight. I don't know about you, but I didn't come to just go through a few motions. I come to experience His power. I come to experience His presence tonight. But in this last day, many are just like the Laodicean church. They're happy with what they got. How many know what Jesus said about Laodicea when in Revelation 3 and 17, Jesus said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let me tell you, just like Laodicea, there are many preachers and there are many churches that just characterize that church. And by the way, it is the last church age mentioned before the rapture of the church when John's called up into heaven. Let me tell you, because you think you got plenty of goods and plenty of money, many think they have need of nothing. But just like Laodicea, just like this last church age, this lukewarm church age, they were missing the main ingredient. The Lord was not present there. There was no moving of the Spirit there. And let me just give you a nugget. It is interesting when you start the seven churches off, you see at the beginning that Jesus is in the midst of the churches. But at the last church of Laodicea, where is Jesus seen at? He is seen on the outside standing and trying to get into his house. Ain't that a picture right there? Many are missing the main ingredient of the power of God that is needed, the presence of God today. Let me tell you, this hour that we are in, the body of Christ needs the empowerment for this last day. Why do we need that empowerment? Because we're living in perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in uncertain times. And let me tell you, it is the last of the last days. But let me just go ahead and speak that Jesus said, even in the Old Testament, God had sent a word. God had sent a promise that in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. In the book of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon thy servants and upon thy handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Let me tell you, it was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when they were in the upper room. Let me just go back there in Acts 2 beginning in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Oh, let me tell you, you read on down. Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, what are we saying tonight? What the prophecy of old was, that God would anoint his people with power. He would anoint them to be witnesses. He would anoint them to do his work in the last day. In fact, Acts 1 and 8 says, we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me tell you a little something interesting. Jesus gave them a commission in Matthew 28, but he also told them in Acts chapter 1, don't you even start, don't you even leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power, until that dunamis power come upon upon you. What he was saying there, you need the Holy Ghost before you start your work. Before what I called you to do, you need the power that I'm going to give to you. Remember back in John, he said, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not the way, then the Comforter would not come. Now, let me tell you, Jesus was going back, but he also told them, don't let sorrow fill your heart. Oh, because he was going to send someone to take their place. The presence of Christ was going to be made real with the coming of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, Acts 2 fulfilled that promise. When Jesus ascended back, guess who came down? When Jesus was at the right hand of the Father, he came down. Oh, my Lord, let me tell you tonight, they had to tarry, but the body of Christ don't have to tarry tonight. Why? Because he's come. I said he has come. Why did Jesus tell his disciples to wait? Because he knew along the way that they were going to face some things along the way. He knew that they were going to face some trouble along the way. He knew they were going to face a real devil along the way. And he knew the disciples needed to be empowered for what they were about to face along this way. Let me tell you that the devil will always try to stop the spreading of the gospel. Let me tell you, he knew they were going to face an enemy. He knew they were going to face an opposition like never before. They were going to face Satan, and they were going to face his henchmen. He tell you, Acts is the beginning of the church. It's the empowerment of the church. And let me tell you, God, and let me tell you, with those few, look how it spread with the coming of Pentecost. When Sermon Peter preached, 3,000 were added into the church. Another of 5,000 were other. It was going like when they were anointed by the power of God. Let me tell you, the devil was going to try to shut the disciples up. The devil would do what he had to do. He would try to kill them. He would try to imprison them in order for them to stop. Oh, but despite all of that, they would keep on despite suffering for Christ. Let me tell you, some were saying, how did they go through some of the things that they faced? What caused them to go through some of the things? How give them strength to go and face the opposition that they faced along the way? Let me tell you about the disciples. Most of them, they didn't die an easy death. You get a Fox's Book of Martyrs, some were beheaded. Let me tell you, Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in hot water before he was cast on the Isle of Patmos, where he saw the Book of Revelation. How did they endure that? How did they keep pressing on when kings and governors came against them? When the devil threw his own slot against them? Let me tell you, they came under the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. He empowered them to keep pressing on. When all hell was coming against them, the Holy Ghost gave them empowerment to face the opposition that was coming their way. When they threatened them, when they beat them, when they threw them in jail, they were yet still empowered to proclaim the Word of God. Let's see right here in Acts 4, 29 through 31. We see the disciples have come under persecution. Let's see, go back to verse 26 in Acts chapter 4. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Oh, they had come to the disciples. Persecution had come, because if you read back how it all started, when you go into Acts chapter 3, you see a man that was lame that was at the temple. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I not, but get up in the name of Jesus and walk." They could not deny that miracle. Them religious people couldn't deny that miracle, but they didn't like what was going on. So they said, we're going to shut these people up. We're going to forbid them to speak in his name. And let me tell you where they begin to find themselves at. When they begin to start doing a thing for God. When they got on fire for God. Under the anointing of God, persecution had come to disciples. The enemy was raging against them, if you will. And they were making threats against the disciples. There was no doubt in my mind. They were threatened to be beaten. We know that they were jailed at a point. And even thought of death. And many of them were at a point later on. At the point of being at death. Let me tell you, they even had Peter in Acts chapter 12. Getting ready to be executed the next morning. Oh, but prayer was made with him. But I look at Peter. And let me tell you, when Peter was behind the iron gate, when he was right there getting ready, scheduled to be executed on that next day, what was Peter doing? Bound by soldiers, he was sleeping because he wasn't worried. Because if they killed him, he knew he would wake up in the presence of Jehovah God. Oh, he knew God could deliver him, but if he didn't and he had to be beheaded, let me tell you, he had a peace. He knew he was going into the presence of God. Let me tell you what give him peace. I believe the power of the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. I believe, let me tell you something about Jesus. How many know it was the Holy Ghost that led Jesus? It was the Holy Ghost that led Jesus to the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost that kept him in the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost that brought him out of the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost that led him to the cross. It was the Holy Ghost that kept him on the cross. It was the Holy Ghost that raised him from the dead, the power of God. Let me tell you, we need that empowerment that we see right there in this age and time that we are living. Rest assured, in this last day that we are living, the devil is going to rage against the church, against the true church. There's this little politician girl. Her name's AOC for short. I'll just be honest with you. I don't even know how she got elected to office because some of the things that come out of her mouth. She made the comment, Christianity is just some kind of wise tale that we should ignore. Meet the Press on NBC, Chuck Todd said, people that voted for Trump believe in fairy tales like Noah's Ark. He was taking a shot at Christianity. He was taking a shot at Christianity. True biblical Christianity. It was a shot right there. What you are seeing rising is an increased attack against the church in these last days. Last Sunday, there was a man that went on a shooting spree in a church. Amen? You're seeing it coming. You see persecution. You're seeing the signs of the last day raise up right before your very eyes. You see the spirit of Antichrist taking root in our government, in our society, and around the world. I'm telling you, the spirit of Antichrist is there. Let me tell you, why would he take over government? How many know the Antichrist is going to be a world leader? That means he's going to be on the political scene at some point, getting his power of authority. You see that spirit there as it increases in these last few moments. I'm telling you, you're fighting devil. The Satan's is roaring in these last days. Satan is roaring in these last days. And let me tell you, church, you better know what you believe in these last days. Amen, because you're going to come down to making a decision. Will I serve Christ or will I serve the devil? Let me tell you, you got to say, I'm going to serve Jesus tonight, despite everything. We're seeing these increase. Let me tell you, you don't know what's going to happen. We're on the verge of World War III. I'm going to blow your mind out. There's sleeper cells for Iran and Muslim terrorists right here in Fulton County. I was told there's a big camp down on 522 somewhere, off in the middle of the woods. About 400 of them. Wolfersburg. See how close that is? This ain't no big area. You would say, I'd expect to see that. What they're waiting on, I don't care what they tell you, but I've studied this to know the fact is, what they are waiting on just don't matter. Where they're in a camp, they're waiting on a call. They're waiting on a call from their leader to go on strike against this. I'm telling you, this is not just a warfare. This goes back to Genesis of Jacob's descendants and Esau's descendants. That's where it all goes bulls back to right there. Jacob's Israel. Esau is what we know as the wild man. You can even go back as far as Isaac and Ishmael. How many? Let me just give you about Ishmael. Ishmael was not the son of promise. Ishmael did not come by faith. Ishmael come along because Abraham and Sarah wanted to jump ahead of God, and he sent Abraham in there with Hagar, who brought forth Ishmael. And God said these people would be wild people. They would fight against everybody, even among their own selves. The Bible tells us they'll be against everybody. Ishmael, Isaac is what we know as Israel. And let me tell you, I don't care what nobody says. Isaac was the son of promise and not Ishmael. You see where we're at? Let me show you. People say that was a mistake. Well, somebody's stupid mistake. Abraham, Sarah, stupid mistake, because it was. They jumped ahead of God. And we're facing that consequence even today. You can even go back to the garden and look at their mistake there. And we're facing that mistake, consequence of it today. But what I'm trying to tell you is these Muslims are wild people. These Persians over in Iran, they don't care. They've even told. The United States is seeing these Iran set up missiles to come in, to attack something. This is where we're at, folks. Let me tell you what Tehran did. They raised a red flag. And that red flag symbolized we're getting ready to go to war with the West. But here's what's even more interesting about that. Where they raised it at and the place it was put is where they expect they're the Messiah to come from. They're called the Mahdiah. If you'd study it, it almost sounds like the Antichrist. But they're looking to insinuate this. But I'll tell you, the real Christ, it will put him down. He's not the real Christ they're looking for. I'm looking for the real Christ first to come on a cloud for his church and to catch his church out of here in the twinkling of an eye. Then tribulation is going to hit. Then at the end, he's coming back to fight a battle on this earth and set foot at the battle of Armageddon. But I'm trying to tell you, we're seeing things even here in 2020 that is unprecedented. Australia looks like an inferno. They said it all. If you could describe hell, they said Australia would look like it, the way it is burning. They said the fire in Australia was creating its own thunder and lightning. That's how bad it's burning. This is their summertime over there, by the way. While we're in winter, they're in summer. 120 degree heat. Now, for y'all that don't like winter, now tell me what you'd rather have, 30 degrees in snow or 120 degrees? All right, that's what I thought. Anybody else take the snow? But I'm telling you, you see this. We're seeing a perplexity of nations like before lining up. The world, the things the Bible talks about, coalitions are lining up to set the stage for end times. And I am convinced what I'm seeing right now, I'm not putting no date on it, but it would not surprise me that Jesus come for his church soon.
It would not surprise me that a trump of God would blow. We are in the last days. Perilous times is here. Dangerous times. Our Lord, Netflix, I told you about them. They got a program that is, they got a movie called Messiah that is programming people to accept the Antichrist. It's not about the real Christ. It's about, it brings, it boils it down to the Antichrist. Then there's one they got on, they bring it out, or if it ain't already out, portraying Jesus as a homosexual. You want to turn my stomach? That turns my stomach. When I canceled it the other day, I told them the reason why I canceled it. Because you made a mockery of Jesus, and I ain't supporting this garbage. Amen? They can go out of business, all I care. Amen? But this is where we're at. If you don't think it's this perilous time, people will kill you to kill you. Dangerous times. I have never seen so much pest, sickness, disease, and cancer in all of my life. Anybody else with me? How many in here know somebody affected by some being affected or going through a cancer? It don't just stop with one. It just, I've known young people fighting cancer. It seems like it's spreading like wildfire. Pestilence, diseases shall be here. And people think this ain't the end time. Well, let me tell you, Pentecost actually started the end time. The last day when the Spirit got poured out. But this is what I call the last of the last of the last day. I'll just be honest with you. If Christ don't come from another 20 years from now, can you imagine what it's going to be like? People don't know right from wrong anymore. They don't. How many notice that? People don't know right from wrong anymore. I'm about ready to say something strong. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about, but some of these video games train our kids to be insensitive. I'm serious. You look at some of these games where it ain't got no value of life in it. And some of these kids that's been in these schools, it's like they're insensitive, like somebody's going to drop back up. And it's just that, but our entertainment form. There's a prophecy given in 1968 by a 90-year-old woman. Didn't know what really TV stations was or channels as we know. She said on these things they'd be filled with violence. She said right before the coming of the Lord. Lord, you can go on there. It's a 90-year-old prophecy is what it's titled, about to come in the last day. It was given in 1968. And everything she said is about ready to be fulfilled right before our very eyes. But I'm telling you, people don't realize the hour that we're in. Satan is raging today. You listen, this world, Satan is raging today. He is raging against the body of Christ. How many know we're in a battle? We're in a battle. We know who's won the war, but right then to there, we are in a battle for the heart and soul of our grandchildren, our grandchildren, and our generation, our families. But I'm telling you right now, Satan, you need to understand tonight that Satan is a raging. Let me talk about a woman in the Bible who fulfills the role of, who was used by Satan. Her name was Jezebel. She raised against the body. She raised against the man of God. You're going to find out when I begin to teach on Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab was a crybaby. You'll find that out. Somebody that's got an Ahab spirit is a crybaby. They don't get what they want. They run to their wife. Crying about it. That's what Ahab did. We'll see that. They'll run crying about it. That's an Ahab spirit part of it. Jezebel is the kind. She likes authority. She don't like being. Well, I heard Perry Stone say something, and I'm going to look into this. Jezebel's deeper. Let me just give you this nugget. Jezebel was worshiped Baal, and Baal was about the climate. He had something to do with climate. I got to get that message and get that out of there. But it's a nugget to think about. Think about it. I'm going to show you something right now. I'm going to give you something real quick. Liberalism's its own religion because they worship climate. I want you to think about that. We got to save the earth. Anybody heard that? Well, I'm going to break your news for you. God said the seasons would go forever. They would be a spring, summer, fall, and a winter. Amen? God's already decreed that in Genesis. Don't get me wrong. We ought to be good stewards of it. But some of this stuff they want you to do today is just flat-out hogwash. Second of all, I tell these people that God said he's already going to make a new heaven and a new earth to begin with. So what you worried about? But it's really, they worship the earth. See, I do not like the term Mother Nature. Uh-oh. Mother Nature. No, Mother Nature didn't. It's Father God. But I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I am going to talk about Jezebel. In 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2. Listen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and whither how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Let me tell you, this spirit we'll see is prevalent in the last day. But let me just give you a nugget real quick. Wherever there's a Jezebel, God's got an Elijah. Wherever Jezebel rises up, God's got an Elijah. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. What did she begin to do? She was raging because of what had happened on Mount Carmel, her and Ahab. Ahab was probably having him a pity party. Remember when Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard? He went whining and crying to Jezebel. She wouldn't do that to me. I'm going to just tell you, Ahab wasn't a real man. Ooh, a real man to put his foot down. I'm just going to tell you the truth right there. But that's what it is. But we see her begin to rage because of the prophets of Baal being slain. She was not happy of what had happened. Oh, that made her mad. Oh, so she said, I'm coming against the man of God. I'm coming against the man of God. Let me tell you what the Lord began to show me. In this last day, let me tell you that they're not happy what has been going on with the church's rights. Amen? The defense of Israel, the defense of the unborn, and things like that. The devil's not happy, so he's a-raging. He's a-raging in these last days. Let me tell you what is transpiring in our nation and around the world is nothing more than an attack on the body of Christ. It's Satan that is raging. People don't realize that. They want to attack biblical truth. Let me tell you something. Let me tell Chuck Todd something. Let me tell Cortez, whatever her name is. Let me tell you, this Bible is not a superstition. This Bible is not a fairy tale. This Bible is the Word of Almighty God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. Let me tell you, long after they're gone, the Word of God will stand. Listen, this is where we're at today. Christians are being killed for their faith every day. Folks, it's coming to America if the Lord tarries long enough. People don't want to hear that, but it's coming to America. Listen, people are being killed around the world. But the news is silent on Christians being killed. But let a mouthful of Muslims be killed, and that's all you'll hear about. Well, the devil will take care of the devil. That's all I'm going to say about that. What we're seeing right now is Satan's rage in this last day. We see Satan raging. Anybody see Satan raging tonight? Amen? But I want you to know, the body of Christ still has the power over the powers of darkness. Satan rages. But I want you to know tonight, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Somebody say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. Luke 10 and 19, Jesus said it like this. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen to what he said. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Jesus said, I give you that power. Acts 1 and 8. Behold, I shall give you power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, I want to bring your attention back somewhere to Acts 4 for just a few minutes. I want you to get something. They were faced with persecution. But they know, you know what? What did the disciples, they begin to pray. What did the disciples begin to pray? Did they pray like many would have today? They didn't pray for God to deliver them, did they? They didn't pray for God to wipe out their enemies, did they? What did they pray? And it should be the church's example today. Verse 29. And the Lord behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak the word. What they wanted was fresh empowerment. They wanted that boldness, if you will, a fresh boldness, that they would continue to speak the word despite what they were going through. Let me tell you right now, shouldn't that be the prayer of the church today? Despite what we see, don't let us cave down to our society. But no matter what it cost us, let us stand true for the word of God. God created me a boldness to declare, thus said the Lord. Listen. We are living in unprecedented times. The spirit of Antichrist is growing stronger. Disaster after disaster. Verge of war. Hatred of the church. Don't you think this is the hour the church needs to rise up in power? Because when we look, we're about out of time. We need to quit pacifying. Ooh. And start speaking. Amen? Amen? Sometimes I feel like if I don't make somebody stomp on a few toes, I don't do my job. You got to preach it where the Spirit can convict them. Amen? Amen? We want to pacify them. But I challenge you. We're in the hour where pacification needs to go away. And where we need to be like the disciples, because we're just about, folks. We're just about out of time. The hour's coming where no man can work. Amen? The hour's coming where he's coming for his church. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see as many go that's going to go. Can go. This ain't a time to sit back and give one of those feel-good messages. It's time we tell this nation to repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. It's time we tell them that homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination. That killing innocent babies is nothing more than cold-blooded murder. It's time to tell them that whoever blesses Israel, God will bless. If you curse Israel, God will curse you. Let me tell you, it's time to speak out for biblical truth. It's time to tell them without repentance, no man will come unto the Lord without being born again. Amen? It's time to tell them that what sin is sin and preach, thus said the Lord. It's time to preach heaven and it's time to preach hell. Because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't hear hell preached on anymore. I preach on it some, but I need to really revisit that. Some people need it scared out of them or knocked out of them by the cross of Calvary. But people act like they ain't no hell. You know, a lot of evangelicals don't even believe in hell no more. But I got news for you. Jesus spoke on it. Hell's real. But we don't hear it preached because we're afraid. If we preach hell, they're going to get mad. They're going to get upset and walk out because they don't want to hear it. Well, let me tell you right now. I'd rather make you mad right now than kiss you into hell. We need to preach that. Don't you think it's time that the body of Christ preach the word with power and authority? Amen. Some of this preaching we got today ain't preaching at all. I'm just going to be honest with you. Ain't no anointing to it. Some people don't even bring out a Bible up there. They just bring out a book they're reading on the New York Times bestseller. Says this feels good. We need some biblical preaching. You see, we until he comes right now, we need to be empowered to proclaim his word in this last day. See, I'll tell you, I'll promise you this. If you want empowered, he'll honor that prayer. He'll honor that prayer. In fact, in Acts 4:29, they prayed for that boldness. They prayed for that empowerment to speak his word despite what they were coming through. In Acts 4:31, we read, and when they prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And let me tell you, God honored their prayer. And I'm convinced today that if the body of Christ will pray for this, God will honor it. Listen, to those who've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. But I think the problem is many times we're seeking to speak in tongues than we are the Holy Ghost. If you'll seek the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues. Amen? A lot of times we don't want to let the words flow at us. He'll put something in us. But God ain't going to open our mouth. You've got to open your mouth and begin to speak what God puts in your spirit, no matter how strange it seems. Amen? I think that's where people miss it at. They think, they don't know what it means. What's that inside of me? They got to open and begin to speak at which God puts in them. God will honor it. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, those that need a fresh refilling of the Holy Ghost, you can get refilled. Some say, I spoke one time. Well, I ask you, why ain't you lately? What I've learned is like a language. I can speak it. Amen? Amen? Just like knowing a foreign language, it just comes through me. Listen to what I'm telling you. You can have a fresh refilling. Then I've seen some jokers ain't got the Holy Ghost. Said they got it and they ain't got a bit of it. That's all I'm going to say. They mimic something, they think that's it. It's like one guy, they used to have schools teaching people how to speak in tongues. Folks, you'll find out when you come against the real devil. Some will grab you right here and start saying, Honda Accord, Honda Accord, Honda Accord. That ain't the Holy Ghost, folks. Houston, you can have a fresh refilling of Pentecost. In fact, I need a refilling every day of the Spirit of God. Amen? I want a refilling every day. But I'm convinced of this, that if the body of Christ gets truly filled with the Holy Ghost, we can shake this place. Anybody with me? Marcia, you can get ready to come. If the body of Christ gets truly filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll shake Houston down. Amen? How many want a God quake? Not an earthquake, but a God quake. What was shaking that place they was in? The power of the Holy Ghost when he was coming in there. He was shaking it. Listen, I'm convinced that the body of Christ gets the Holy Ghost really filled where God wants them. Really gets filled. There'll be a movement. It will be shaking. People will say, what's going on down there? Amen. Let me tell you, when they got filled, they began to speak the word of God. The place was shaking right there. And I'm convinced there's a Holy Ghost earthquake that will come through, a God quake, if you will. He's going to come through and do some shaking when the people of God get truly filled. But preacher, this devil is strong, but the power of God is greater than a devil. I said the power of God is greater than any devil. Let me tell you something right now. If I allow the devil to rob me of something, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. Because let me just tell somebody something right here. The church needs to know this. The devil, how many is bought with the blood of Jesus? You know if you are. If you're bought with the blood of Jesus, Satan has no right to come and take from you. He can try to hinder me, but he can't stop me. If I allow him to hinder me, it's my fault. Amen? Amen? Satan has no right. Yeah, devil's got some power to those that's in the world, but Jesus said, I give you power over serpents and scorpions. What do you think? We all talk about how big and bad the devil is. When's the last time you told the devil how big and great God Jehovah is and how much power the Holy Ghost has got over him? And if I got the Holy Ghost and I got Jesus in me, I got power to tread over serpents and scorpions today. My gosh, we give the devil credit that he don't deserve. Amen? Amen? Yeah, he comes against me. But I don't allow him have to rob me of my joy. Amen? If I allowed him to take from me, I wouldn't be preaching tonight because I'd have quit a long time ago, to be honest. And that's just not here. That's after 14 years of pastoring and 20 years of preaching. You can imagine I've experienced it along the way. I could have allowed him to rob me. Only reason he was going to rob me is because I left the doors open or the windows open or a crack for him to slither in. Oh, preacher, he's powerful. Don't you know the creation is not greater than the Creator? The power he got over you to the believer is the power you give him. Am I right on that? Some of you need the power of the Holy Ghost to remind him of the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to remind him. Some of you need to remind him of the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying he ain't going to attack. He's going to come. But he's defeated. He's already lost. Just like when them Redskins show up against the Cowboys. I had to. But the strong yoke, the yoke is strong, preacher. But it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Listen, the power of God is strong. Let me give you something real quick. In the book of Acts, the early church, those filled with the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, ran over the devil. Uh-oh. How many know they run over the devil? Casting out devils. Look at Paul. Yeah, the devil done things. They stoned him, but he got back up. But in this generation, can I tell you what's a crying shame? We allow the devil to run over us. Apparently, we forgot about the power of the Holy Ghost. You can stand in here today. I'm telling you. God said, it's time for you to run over the devil and quit letting the devil run over you. He's empowered you for these days. There's empowerment available tonight. You need that empowerment tonight. Who would step out and said, I need that empowerment tonight. I need that fresh empowerment tonight. Let me tell you right now, you need that empowerment. Let God empower you tonight. I need that fresh empowerment tonight. I need that fresh empowerment tonight. I need that fresh empowerment tonight. Rumpatateo shanda morandeo. Oh, rumpatateo. Rumpatatatala morandeo. Oh, rumpaneo. He rumpatatateo. Satan, you ain't got no right to these people. They're bought with the blood. They're under the blood of Jesus. They're under the blood of Jesus. The blood is more powerful than any devil. The blood is more powerful than Satan himself. The blood is more powerful than all of Satan's armies that he has. He's Jesus. He's King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, I'll empower you for these days. 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 Rumpatata, rumateo, ricanala morundeo, shanda mashikata tateo, runda mokoteo, rumpatateo, shikatala mokoteo, rummateo, he rummateo, shikanareo, he rumpatateo, shikatateo. God's in here to empower. Satan has run roughshod over your household, but he is defeated. He is defeated by the blood of Jesus. The Lord said, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions. Tonight, use that power that he's given you to tread over those things. That means to stomp on them, walk on them, take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.